I'm Dr. Stephanie Munt.
And I'm Dr. Ellie Summers.
And this is Two Women Running Their Mouths, a podcast for women who run by women who run. Our 80-20 rule, 80% dishing, 20% running. Welcome back.
I beat Steph to the punch this time.
We're super fast. back with Two Women Running Their Mouths, a podcast by women who run, for women who run. Maybe it's the opposite. Anyway,
Steph still doesn't know our tagline. We talk about all things running, and then we like to gripe sometimes.
That's what
this podcast is.
We do, yes. Which is a healthy thing to do on a podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
We're biased.
Yes. Yes. Today, what are we talking about today, Steph?
We are going to talk about periods today. We're going to talk about if it is important to periodize your training based on your menstrual cycle. Maybe touch on why it's important to have one, and just kind of start dishing on what we know about periods.
Period. That's what we're talking about.
That is the title.
Periods. Yes. Steph, I want you to start on this one because I feel like I talk a lot on this podcast.
I enjoy that.
I'm ready for you to talk more than me. So, Steph, let's start with, are periods important in running, in the sport of running, for athletes, for women athletes?
Absolutely. For all female athletes, it's a measure of how your body is responding to the, I don't know if I want to say training, but the demands you're placing on it. So if you are noticing changes, especially with changes in your training, more time between periods, losing your period, even I think changes in the flow.
Yeah.
That's something that you probably should, not probably, that's something you should look into. Yeah. And I think the first point person is probably, I don't know, what would you say your PCP first or an RD or both?
Oh, so many biases come up. So many.
It depends, huh?
It really does depend. I have several trusted registered sports dietitians in the area and beyond the Seattle area. And I think I would trust an RD a lot, but sometimes we need physician assistance in period health and understanding like why somebody's period has changed. I think that probably the reason that Steph and I talk about it is because of something called relative energy deficiency in sport. If you haven't listened to our episode on Red S, go back and do that. And how sport and activity can change a person's period. And I think that's maybe sometimes a missed variable when we go to the medical system, because when we go, we're like, something's wrong with my period. And I think sometimes there's investigation into things that may not be pertinent to that, but that can be valuable as well.
Right.
Lots to consider with periods.
Definitely. Yes. But I think the big thing here, especially with the runners we coach and the athletes that we work with, is the change that may correlate with a change in training.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I have some trusted RDs, but I was just talking to a gal the other day who was in a state of energy deficiency, had Red S, and she did mention that when she went to doctors about this, like a change in her period, they were just kind of like, oh, we don't know what's going on.
Right.
And then finally looked more
You're
into
fine.
It. Yeah, normal. Yeah, this isn't abnormal. This is common.
Right.
But that's not the best care.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is tough because, you know, we have to advocate for ourselves. But if you don't know that,
right,
then you're going to listen to what the doctor said and just be like, I guess I'm fine.
And right.
Continue on that path, which is really tough.
It is really tough because I think that, you know, we don't, I think as women, we don't always know what, I'm going to use air quotes, what a normal period is. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there is a normal, right? There's tons of variance, but for women, probably the best way to know what your normal is to start tracking. Mm-hmm. And if you're tracking, you'll be able to determine what's normal and what's not normal for you. What would be some indicators that you might encourage someone to look for when they're starting to track their period?
As far as the changes?
Yes, changes.
So the length of the cycle. Typically, it shouldn't vary too much in a normal, like, homeostatic state, right? And again, everyone's a little bit different, but I think the average is between, you know, that 28, sometimes even as low as 21, but between that 28 and 40 days. And so if you start to see that increase time between periods, or actually even decrease, I was talking to an RD about this, and she said any changes can be a sign of energy deficiency. So if you just see kind of a shift toward shorter time in between or more time in between your periods, that could be it, a sign. If you notice that it's just longer, instead of 4 days, now it's 7 days, even lighter or heavier than usual. I think those are things to, again, start taking note of. It's, you know, not something that if you see that change once, like, oh no, this is terrible, what's wrong with me? But right. If you start to see that trend continue, it's something worth investigating.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's like one of the main messages is, like, for women, track your period. If you have a period, you know, there can be a number of reasons why you don't have a period. Maybe you're on birth control, which we should maybe chat about as well. So track it, track how many days you menstruate as well, how long your period lasts. And then, you know, like you said, each cycle, how long between each period. And once you're able to track, you can also be tracking symptoms. You can start to understand what your normal is and when you vary away from your normal or when changes occur. And changes can occur for a number of different reasons. I think in sport, we're thinking energy deficiency, but there can be other reasons your period change. You know, if you're in perimenopause, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we can probably have Renee on to talk about that. Yeah. She is much more well-versed, but exactly. And that can start earlier than I think I was aware of.
Yes.
Is it 38,
36? Yeah.
So yes, that can definitely be a reason. And stress too, which I think is, you know, related to, if we take into account everything from training-related stress, but even stress without an energy deficiency, I think, can alter it as well.
So, right. Why would you tell someone that their period matters? Why does someone's period matter?
It's because of all the, gosh, there's so many.
And I don't expect you to provide like the physiologist answer.
I was about to try. No.
Like, hormones just, and.
Yeah, with the fluctuation in hormones, there's so many other effects on our body systems. So wild to learn about, like, our GI system, bone health, mood. It's just insane how much estrogen and progesterone play a role in even like inflammation, our ability to feel calm. Like, it's crazy how much they impact us. So beyond just being an indicator of your body being in a state where it is going through these quote normal or typical hormonal changes, it's also going to help with mood, bone health. Of course, there are effects on fatigue, but overall energy levels. Just to name a few.
Yeah.
What do anything else to add there?
Yeah, I think your period is an indicator of a lot of different important variables in sport. And I think I like to think of it as like this secret performance enhancer that women have that they don't know that they have. Because quite frankly, if we're being honest, having a period sucks.
It sucks. It's the worst.
It is the worst. So we don't think of it as a superpower, but it really is. It's like a performance enhancer in ways. And it's a very objective measure of how our body is handling performance mm-hmm. and handling stress and handling the demands of our lives. And it's a very clear indicator of how we're tolerating that stuff. And for athletes, what a powerful thing that can be mm-hmm. to know, wow, this month must have been really stressful for me, and I might not have been eating enough because my period changed drastically. I've got to make some adjustments now, mm-hmm. which can help us avoid, you know, potential dangers, I think. So it is a little bit like a secret weapon, and we want young girls and adult women to know that, because it is such a clear measure of our body's tolerance to stress, mm-hmm. stress, physical, psychological, all of it.
Yeah, I love that. I like that summary. So when you're with that, being a performance enhancer, let's clarify, do you feel like the week of your period, menstruating, does that enhance performance when the hormones are in we're in the lower hormone phase?
Don't ask me these questions. bringing up the conversation of menstrual cycle based periodization. And I think it's a conversation that has been more popularized recently or within the last couple years, and rightfully so. You know, we're learning more and more about a woman's menstrual cycle, how it may impact her, you know, how she feels when she shows up for a workout. You know, if I show up with cramps, it's not like, yeah, let's go. So the question becomes, how do hormones influence our body's ability to adapt to stress responses in physical activity? Right now, the evidence does not seem to indicate that menstrual cycle-based periodization is overtly and obviously beneficial to a woman's performance. And I think a big reason for that is because of how different every woman's menstrual cycle is and how different every woman feels in each phase of the menstrual cycle. And there is no way to standardize that approach because of how drastically different each of us are. And so, you know, to sort of answer your question, it just depends. It depends on the person. It depends on what they like and enjoy. I know that for me, full disclosure, I'm on birth control. So I don't have a period anymore. It's glorious. It's wonderful. I don't anymore have the ability to track symptoms and all that stuff. But when I did have my period, I wasn't feeling great on those days. I liked shorter workouts, shorter, faster workouts. Felt just easier physically and mentally for me to do. But for someone else, it might be like a long run to decompress and just, yeah, mm-hmm. It depends. Really just depends.
Yeah, it's so individual. And I think that's what, again, I haven't done like a deep dive into any systematic reviews of this, but from—
There aren't many, I will tell you that.
There aren't many?
No.
Yeah.
The research is still very, very slim. They've looked at some menstrual cycle-based periodization for like strength training. Mm-hmm. That even still is very, very slim. But even on the performance side, I mean, there's not much. Go on.
In the ones though that they have done, it's been very mixed, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that just again points to that variability and individuality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I shouldn't say that it doesn't work, because I think for some women, we probably do it naturally and intuitively without realizing it. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, you know, it's very, very difficult for me to be like, tell me about your period every single month.
Right.
Like, that's going to become a logistical challenge mm-hmm. for me as a coach to have to navigate when someone's cycle is occurring and how we're going to adjust. I think most of my athletes, they do that probably automatically on their own within their own context. And it just doesn't show up directly as this week I'm on my period, so I'm adjusting this way. It shows up as I was feeling tired today or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Cramps. I'm going to do an easy run, something
like that. And here's the thing that I think is important to capture is that that's okay. And that's like on the squad, that is something that's celebrated for most people, like way to go, way to adjust your training based on what you need. I think that is a great skill to possess, to be able to adapt to what your body is telling you you need. Certainly, you know, you can swing it really, really far one way and never do anything at all. But yes, anyway, I digress. Periods matter.
Yeah. Period.
Period.
No, I think that's a great point. You know, either really in anything, right? We're trying to find this middle ground. So you could swing it either way where you just completely ignore it, right? Or you get obsessed with trying to manage your workouts around it. Yeah. And I think probably the most effective, maybe who knows the most effective, but the least stressful is to check in like usual with how you're feeling, how you're doing, and be okay with modifying things based on how you're feeling, how you respond, like how, what your symptoms are during your cycle.
Exactly. Exactly. Because ultimately this comes down to things we cannot necessarily see. The period you can see, but you can't see the fluctuation of your hormones happening constantly every day. Like, you can't know that tomorrow I will have a bump in progesterone and all of a sudden, like, there's no possible way to predict that. Which is why tracking is important, because it can start to give you some concept as to why you might feel like extra mad in certain times of your cycle and extra good. And like, maybe these are times we could capitalize on how good you're feeling.
Right.
But at the end of the day, what is important to acknowledge is that progressive overload works for women. Mm-hmm. No matter what their hormone levels are, no matter what their menstrual cycle is like, it will work if you're progressively overloading in a relatively strategic and systematic way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of the camp right now. Periods matter. We need to be talking about periods. I like when athletes update me about their period. I like to make sure I'm having these conversations. It's not a perfect process. Not every single one of my clients is tracking their period, probably. But what matters is that people know that everyone is different, mm-hmm. and that they're going to improve if they're on a progressively overloaded plan.
Right.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, let's not complicate this.
I'm just gonna say,
more than it has to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Your training is going to work. It's going to be beneficial with progressive overload, managing your own stressors, effort. And I don't know what the end was.
Yeah. I mean, and life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Life.
Yes.
Yeah. Because life will find a way to get in the way. It almost always does. You know, the week that's like so stressful at work, how can you possibly predict if the stressful work week is going to align with also how stressful your period is feeling?
Right, right, exactly.
As if it's a different part of your body. Yeah. No, yeah. You can't possibly predict those things. So, you know, I envision like being a woman is like riding a wave a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that aligns with like how hormones work. They're like a little cyclical and wavy.
You guys can't see her. She's making a waving motion with her hand. Very soothing.
Just be cool, bro. It is though. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think riding the wave is hard for runners classically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tend to just like, it's more of a peak, right? Like, oh, the high, and then we're going to the low instead of just kind of riding it out.
Yeah. So what else about, oh, let's chat about contraception.
Yes.
What would you do if you're on contraception? What would you recommend to someone? Or what would you tell them is going on there? What do we need to think about, Steph?
Well, with that, so depending on the type, right? So oral birth control, a lot of times people will continue to have a period, but because it's regulated, we may not be able to tell if you are in an energy deficient state in Red S based just on that. So I think it's important to track, you know, symptoms potentially more than, you still want to track the timing, but it's likely going to be the same if you're taking it as you should.
Yeah.
But for that, I think we need to make sure we're paying more attention to fatigue, GI issues, just emotional readiness to train, because we don't have the period as a marker of your tolerance to training. And maybe we're a little more conservative, you know, I'm not sure if that, depending on their injury history. Yeah. With an IUD, I personally, when I had one, I lost my period. So for that, again, no real way to track it. Just have to really focus back on how you're feeling, fatigue levels. Again, I think I already said the GI, same thing. So just focusing more on those other variables that, again, the intangibles we can't necessarily see, but really paying more attention to how your body is doing and tolerating training in those other aspects.
Yeah, these are the signs of energy deficiency outside of the classical like female athlete triad. So other signs of energy deficiency, as Steph has alluded to, are like performance declines, fatigue, lack of motivation to show up for a workout, sadness, depression, irritability, GI upset. Like all of these are other indicators that we can be using outside of our period to tell us if we're energy deficient. And there are proponents in the world of performance that say women who perform should not be on birth control at all. I tend to disagree with that. There's maybe an argument to be had for both, right? I can see both because the period, as we've already talked about, Steph and I, is part of our ability to determine if we're meeting energy demands. It's a very clear, objective way to do that. And when you lose that, you've got to have a little more intuitive discussion around energy demand. And, you know, I think probably most people are not fueling for the demands of their sport.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not their fault. It's just like, you don't understand what the demands are. I still struggle with it too. And I think it's something that takes practice. It takes intentional decision-making, and this is maybe a conversation for another day, I suppose, but like when you're out on a run, knowing that you're not necessarily going to be signaled to be hungry, but that you need food anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's something that just takes time and practice. And so being attentional to other symptoms of energy deficiency outside of period is critical when you're on birth control as a woman.
Mm-hmm. And with that too, even if you are tracking your period and it's normal, there's still a possibility you could be in an energy deficient state. So even with that, that might be something obviously that you can pay attention to and be like, okay, I'm on track. But if you're starting to notice those other symptoms, that you can't discount an energy deficiency just because your period is regular.
Right. That is so important too. Because, you know, well, Steph just wrote a blog for Sisu about what is relative energy deficiency in sport. Go check out the blog if you have questions on this, because it is something that is more than just your period. It's everything, and every system in our body can be impacted in some way and can be indicators to us if we need to be eating more. And I mean, if you're concerned or not sure, God, if I had my way, all of my clients would work with an RD and
I know. Be nice.
it's not always the case that that's going to happen. That's fine. I understand that. But anyway, I digress. Periods matter, period.
Mic drop.
Yes. Yes. If you have questions, please don't hesitate to reach out and poke us for a question.
Yeah. We would love to hear from you. Any feedback, your thoughts on periodizing, and then any other topics you would like to discuss, feel free to reach out.
Yeah.
Our communication info, contact info. Can we edit that? Contact
communication
info.
I will include our contact info in the show. I call it the show notes, but I don't know. The show description is where I tend to put it. Okay. So you can always reach out to us personally. We love to receive feedback from folks on questions and comments.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. That's it. We'll see you next time.
Later.